would race down a mountain doing 60 miles an hour on one ski? Who would hang from a steel cable that spans a 2,000-foot gorge? Who would try and outrun a Swiss avalanche? Who would hitch a ride on a speeding bobsled? Who would stand in the middle of a time bomb and take pictures? Who else but
Duff Tyler? Thank you so much for hitting the play button on your favorite listening device of choice from wherever you listen to podcasts. My name is Duff Tyler, and this is A Duff Said. Now, this week we are previewing a good OAA crossover matchup. Oxford out of the red. They are looking to bounce back from a 34-14 loss to Romeo, and then out of the white, Rochester Adams. The Highlanders had arguably the biggest win of any program in the state of Michigan last week. Rochester Adams goes into West Bloomfield and comes away with a 35-17 win over the defending Division I state champs. Later in the show, I will recap that win with Adams head coach Tony Petrito. And we'll also recap Lake Orion's impressive performance against Utica Eisenhower. But my first guest was a seven-year veteran in the National Football League.
It's first and goal. They give it to the fullback, Zach Line. Touchdown, Vikings.
And it is a touchdown to Zach Line, his first receiving touchdown of the year. And the Saints march down the field, and with 7:07 to go, they have recaptured the lead.
Zach Line is in his second year as head coach at Oxford, and my conversation with him starts now. You come into this season after going 2-5 in 2020. What are some of the changes that you have been working on with your group, both in practice and after getting one game under your guys' belt?
Well, easy for us. It was a lot of the alignment assignment, just the day one things that you put in all summer long, and you try to talk about when the lights come on, don't do anything else, do your job. I don't need anybody to be Superman. And then when the lights go on, things change. So you're happy to see that it's not a big scheme error. It's not a big, the foundation is there. It's just, why are we here? Why are we here? It's one of those things that's good to get on film.
You guys took on Romeo last week, and although you came up short on the scoreboard, what were some of the biggest takeaways from that game?
I left that game, we're 21-13 beginning of the third quarter. We had our extra point was blocked. So it's a good game up to that point. And then this would be one of the negatives. I felt like we struggle as a younger team to grab momentum and run with it. So that's one of the things we'll start getting more mature in, is once we get that momentum and we get those swings in our favor, you can't let them go. You have to take advantage of those. A positive would be I left that game and I felt like our team fought until the last whistle. There was even the last extra point by them when they scored late to make it 33. Everybody was down to 3-point, ready to go. So those are things you leave as a coach. You go, I'm upset with, the minor details of the game that add up to be big ones, but I am happy with the effort.
When you guys get back to practice and you've had a chance to digest what took place, what was kind of the attitudes and mindsets of the guys as you get ready for your next game?
I think we do a good job on Saturdays of really diving into the key points of the game. I like to show why we won, why we lost, and that's not attacking one player or another. It's showing the momentum swings and how if you don't grab them, showing how turnovers affect the game. Just kind of talking where these ebb and flows in a game can either go in one favor or the other. And so we need to start changing that thinking, more football savvy and football smart, and places and times in the game where we need to take advantage of certain situations. So, again, we got to that meeting and it was more of effort was there. Now you can see why we get on you about listening and walkthroughs, listening and meetings, and really locking in, being laser focused. So I felt like this week, the attention to detail has been there.
What was it like for you to see that they really had a chance to absorb what you guys were talking about and to kind of see them get a little jolt of confidence knowing that, you know, it's just a few things here and there that we got to clean up?
Yeah, I mean, I think they know. I mean, we left that game saying, could we have won that game? Yes. So I think that's what they needed, was to get that first game. You know, there's going to be mistakes. You know, there's going to be errors. What I like is they're played as a team. They fought to the end, and nobody got on each other about, you know, this or that, or you need to do this, or there was none of that on the sideline. It was more of let's go. You know, I think all of them until the end believed that we could win. So they have the right mindset. Now it's just let's be in the right spots.
That game was really a good test for you guys, too. Romeo was a district finalist last year, so you got a really good test in week one. And now as you look ahead to the rest of the schedule for this year, there's going to be some really good teams that you're going to have to face this year. What does it mean for this group to know that they have a chance to compete with some of the best programs in Division I throughout the state of Michigan?
For sure. I mean, the OA Red is where it's at, in my opinion, in the state of Michigan. So I don't think any of these guys have ever backed down to a challenge, and this is the only place they want to be, and it's right where I want to be. So we're happy with the schedule for them, and for us, it's every week. It's the biggest game all year because it's the next one. So we're not looking ahead to next week. We're just strictly on Romeo right now, and that's why we try to – or on to Adams, because we try to wipe Romeo on Saturday. You know, everything that we need to correct is corrected. And so once we come back out Monday, it's not – we're not dwelling on Romeo. But the attention to detail better be there, you know, especially coming off of a loss and on mistakes that were, you know, more of an attention to detail problem. So, you know, I think this team competes hard, and we got a lot of guys that go both ways. We're never going to be the biggest team, but as long as we are, again, alignment, assignment, technique, sound, we have a good chance.
You took over the program 2 years ago. When you were looking at your options as a player in the NFL, what was it about going home to Oxford that really intrigued you?
Well, I am born and raised in Michigan, in Oxford, so this is kind of full circle for me. I played right here in Oxford, went on and played at SMU in Dallas, then played for the Minnesota Vikings, then for the Saints. So I played 7 years in the NFL. So once my final year was over, that was when the following year I became the head coach here.
So what was it like to be a part of that New Orleans football culture and to be a part of the Saints? The way that fan base gets behind their team, it's like nothing I've ever seen.
No, and I've been a part of a lot of them. So I would say when you're in Minnesota, it was kind of when you win, you're good. Everybody loves you. When you lose, it's the bandwagon effect. Whereas in New Orleans, even if you lost and got blown out, the fan base would blame it on the refs, and it was just kind of – it was a different culture than I was used to. It was funny, though, because you always felt like they had your back no matter what. I would say the locker room was different there, too. You get guys like Drew Brees and Ben Watson, and, you know, there's a million guys I could speak on, but they hold you to a higher standard. You feel like this guy trains at a level that I don't want to let him down by not training at that same level. So that's the culture we're trying to build. You know, it's different in high school. When you try to get guys to buy into, the best teams are led in the locker room, but they really are. So the sooner we can get that where our locker room, our captains are actually being the leaders and actually leading by example, they don't need a coach constantly telling them that's wrong, that's right, that's when you become a better team, because everybody holds each other to a higher standard. And, you know, that's not how we do it around here. Is, you know, kind of what we always say is, if you're not living up to the Oxford standard of how we're doing things in the hallways, in the locker room, outside of the school, you know, the guys on our team got to grab you and say, that's not how we do things.
When you got the call and they were asking you to come be the head coach, what really interests you in wanting to take over the program?
You know, I've always loved Oxford. We bought a house here a couple years before that, so we wanted to get our kids in the school district. So, you know, I've always loved the schools here, the supporting staff. And I count the supporting staff as the parents that I grew up with, the teachers in the community, you know, there's just people around, I feel like, that are supportive and guide your kids in the right path. And then, obviously, Bud Raleigh was here for a long, long time. So that is a name that I don't want to die, and I want to keep, you know, his toughness and a lot of the things he instilled here in Oxford alive.
What are some of your fondest memories of growing up in Oxford and getting to play football there?
You know, I guess I always just I just always went out and have fun, you know. So, and Bud brought out a blue collar side of every kid he had. So Bud was a coach here, and that's kind of something that took me through my football career. You know, I never flinched in the face of adversity, and so those are the kind of things that Oxford's kind of built on, because we're always a little bit undersized, a little bit. I'm never going to say outmanned, but you know, we're always a smaller team that fights and scratches and claws until, you know, we'll win games.
You know what? I'm a kind of a neighbor to you guys. I'm just a few towns down in Orion Township, and I always enjoy coming to Oxford. You've got a great town. You guys have one of the best equestrian teams in all the state. They've built a legacy, and anytime I go there, my wife's always asking, when are you going to talk to the coaches over there at the equestrian team? And certainly they deserve it, and eventually I am going to talk to them. But I'm really thrilled to get a perspective from somebody who actually is from Oxford, because I honestly don't know too many people from the town. I haven't had a chance to really get to know my neighbors over there. What are some of the charms of Oxford, and what do people need to know about the town?
As a football side of things, it's a one high school town. So everybody's coming out to the game on Friday nights, which is awesome. I mean, obviously in a COVID year last year, it was weird, you know, because there was nobody in the stands, and you know, there was a lot of things that weren't the way you looked at the job coming into it, but I'm glad that we're finally back. We have the crowd, and you know, the town's behind you. It's what you picture high school football being. So you know, the downtown obviously is beautiful, and so that's, I think, the things that we enjoy as a family is, you know, you have the movie theater downtown, you have the ice cream shop, and it's got that small town feel, but it's not as small as it was when I was here, I guess.
You guys got a chance to play in front of a packed house again. When you guys took the field on Friday night and you had all those fans cheering for you, what were those emotions like at that moment?
Oh, it was electric. And, you know, after we went through, we had a very good training camp. You know, it was tough. Kids fought hard. And then for them to be rewarded with that type of entrance, and, you know, they have the blow-up tunnel now, the Wildcat, the intro song. So everything that they could want, it was there on Friday night. And for some of these kids that will play at a smaller college, you know, after high school, and hopefully they do, this might have been a better entrance than I've ever had until I got to the NFL level. So Oxford's doing some things and taking care of their athletes in ways that not a lot of places do, even beyond the high school level.
I'm excited to hear that. In fact, I'm going to have to make it out to some of your games just so I can be a part of this too. Now, who are some of the guys that you have coming back this year that were key contributors to your team last year?
Well, I think, you know, it starts with the quarterback, Brady Carpenter. He was a junior last year and started for us, and he's doing a good job of, you know, leading his team. He's grown up a lot and learned how to be that in that captain position that he has this year. And a couple other guys, we have Tate Mier, another great captain of ours. And then Gavin Green is on the offensive line, and he's definitely the glue for the interior offense and defensive line. And so those are three guys just quick off my head that, you know, I'll just name our captains. Those three right there that have done a great job and are returners for us. And we lean on to, you know, get the team sparked up.
Now, are there any new names that we should be looking for on the roster that you expect big things out of?
Well, I think game one, we kind of knew going in that John Asciutto, one of our receivers, was an athlete and could do some special things on the football field. And he did a good job of showing that both offensively and defensively. And then our other running back, Sal Vaccaro, has done a really good job at running back. So we definitely have the athletes this year. We're giving a lot of guys opportunities to see the field and different personnel packages, and giving them chances to have success.
When you look at what you've got in front of you for the rest of the season, what are some things that you see as some of the toughest challenges that you guys are going to be facing this year?
I've learned over the time. I remember when I got to my first training camp as a rookie, one of the vets told me, do not look at the full calendar, because you'll burn out of training camp, you know, before you even get to the second week, because you're going to look at it and see that you're in full pads for 12 straight days. So I've never done that. And now that I'm at this level and coaching, I couldn't even tell you who we have next week. I'm sure our other coaches could, and that's the way I'm trying to get this team to be, is if you look at the whole schedule, it looks tough. But if we just focus on, boom, Adams, what are we doing? What are they doing on special teams? What are they doing on offense? What are they doing on defense? And that's all we care about. Saturday, we'll clear it. We'll right on to whoever's next. So I guess that's a tough one for me to answer, because I really don't. I don't look ahead. All the film I'm watching this week is Adams, Adams, Adams.
What are some other lessons that you took as a player in the NFL that you're bringing to these kids now in Oxford?
Well, I think for me, it's just work ethic. Because no matter what you do in life, if you don't give everything you've got when you're practicing that, or preparing for an event or a job interview, or you know, just say you're dating and you're preparing for marriage. If you're doing the wrong things in that frame of your life with your then girlfriend, what are you going to be as a husband? So to me, it's, we can't go to practice and take care of each other, or however you want to say that, and expect that those techniques are going to work in the game. So everybody's got to be going full go, or else we're never going to know what we have in the game. And to be honest, when I was an athlete, if I didn't give 100% in practice, and by the time I was done with that practice session, if I wasn't completely tired, I would be nervous for that game because I don't know if I'm prepared. So I have to know in my mind that I'm preparing more than that linebacker that I'm going to go against.
How did you go from Zach Line, the player in the NFL, to Zach Line, the head coach? What was that transition like?
Well, my final year playing, I knew that was going to be my last year. The year before my seventh year, I was ready to retire, and I was just on the fence, wavering back and forth, back and forth. And both my wife and my dad and other people were like, just give it one more go. A victory lap, and I did, and I'm glad I did. It was the best season I had. If I could look back, I wish I played every season like that, because I wasn't worried. I wasn't worried about cuts. I wasn't worried about anything else. I was just, my cup was fully poured into that season, having fun, playing loose, playing physical, and it was the best season I had. Near the end, I heard about the job opening in Oxford and said, why not? I actually mentioned it to my wife, saying, just kind of, hey, I heard that the job opening's in Oxford, and she was like, well, you should take that. So it was kind of her pushing me, saying, if that's what you're interested in. And I always knew at some point I wanted to come back to Oxford and coach. And it just so happened that my final year playing, there was an opening. So I felt like it was a smooth transition. And I feel like it's harder to get away from the game and then come back and learn everything than it is to have everything and then slide right into that role.
I'm going to tell you a little bit of a story, because this past week, my alma mater, Indiana State University, played Eastern Illinois in its opening game of the season. There's a running joke in Terre Haute, Indiana, my hometown, that anytime those two schools get together, it's the Sean Payton Bowl, because Sean Payton was a quarterback at Eastern Illinois, and then he went on to be an assistant coach at Indiana State University. He experienced both Eastern and Indiana State. What was it like to play for Sean Payton?
I was never more prepared, you know. So Sean was a guy that went by the numbers, but also he was the first coach I've ever had that didn't want you to fit a role in his, a scheme in his offense. So, you know, when you're in Minnesota, obviously you have Adrian Peterson, you're going to run the ball. So in college, I was a running back. So when I came in there, my role was now turned into, hey, if you want to play on this team and play fullback, you need to go in and be this thumping fullback. So you get to New Orleans, and now Sean's looking at your history. Okay, this guy played quarterback in high school, but running back in college. Let's make him more of an athletic fullback role. And, in two NFL games, I got to pitch an option. So it's kind of funny. He'll look at your full body of work, everything that's got you to this point, and say, what can this guy give us in certain areas that make us a unique offense and a unique team to defend? I would say, he was good at knowing when to take chances, and for him, if it was better than 50% odds, he was going to take a chance.
I know you said that you talked to your wife about the discussions to come back to Oxford and coach, but was there ever a time when you discussed the possibility of being a coach with him?
Sean, no. You know, even when I was going through the interview process, it was near the end of the season, I didn't want my teammates to think, oh, his mind's elsewhere. You know, we're making playoff runs every year. And I didn't want to be that guy that was, you know, had my one foot out the door. It was, I even told when I was interviewing for the job, I'm not going to do anything till after the season is done, make my final decision. So I want to make sure that I saw that team through before I joined another one.
And certainly I can respect that too, because like you said, your mind has to be focused on what's going on the week ahead of you, not looking further down the road. I mean, as a player, you always got to have that in the back of your mind, but you always got to have that mindset of staying focused and living in the particular moment. So when you finally did decide that this was going to be your last game in the NFL and it finally happened, What were the emotions like when you were walking off the field for the last time?
Well, unfortunately, my last game was, I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was in Indianapolis, maybe. So I had two scopes this year on my knee. And so it was kind of one of those years you're just kind of going through the ringer, but you're playing through a little bit of pain because it's the last one. And I remember running out of the tunnel, being announced as one of the offensive starters, and I did have that moment of kind of a little bit overwhelming. You know, it's the last time I'm going to run out of a tunnel, possibly a home game, because I knew we were going to be away for our playoff game. And then, or actually, we weren't away. We were home. But I knew this was my last regular season game, running out of the tunnel. I knew right where my wife was sitting, my dad, everybody was there. And it was just, you know, one of those moments that overcomes you, and you feel special in that moment. And so it's this game's given a lot to me, and you know, I'm fortunate to be able to give a lot of it back.
On the flip side of that, once you had the chance to experience that career in the NFL and you're now a head coach, what were those emotions like?
I think I got to the school about 6 hours before game time, so way too early, so I had too much time to think, and I was definitely more nervous for my first game than I had been for any game during my NFL career. You know, you've done that a million times as a player, high school, college, and then 7 years as a pro, and it just became normal for me. I knew I could take care of my job, but now it was, okay, now I'm the head coach, I'm calling the offense, so you want to put these guys in position for success, and you want to make sure you're doing the right thing. So I reached out to as many guys as I could that I knew over the time, Joe Brady and Kevin Stefanski Cleveland, and I just reached out to anybody that I could think of that could give me a, hey, you know, what was your thought process on this? What was your thought process on this? And the football community is awesome, because I feel like once you're around that group and you show that you're a hard worker and you build that reputation, guys will just, hey, even if it's a small text, you know, put your finger on it and call the play. If you've done the homework, then that's, you know, that's the play. So it was nice to hear those types of things and just kind of settle your nerves a little bit. But I was definitely nervous.
With the guys that you have on your roster, when they know that their head coach had made it all the way to the NFL, played in the pros, was playing on Sundays, how many times have they come up to you and asked you to tell them stories about what it was like to be in the NFL?
We've had that. You know, they'll ask about a player here and there, and you have some guys that all of a sudden are become, you know, Tampa Bay fans, so you have they'll have a little rivalry with you and talk about that, because you know, I'm forever a Saints fan, and I'm a little bit of a Lions fan now because Dan Campbell is now, he was one of my coaches in New Orleans, so I loved him as a coach. So, but yeah, there's some of that. I like to draw, stay away from that. It's all about them. I try to keep, this is actual football now. So if there is a situation that I can bring from my career, I will. And I think what's unique is we have two other coaches on our staff that played in the NFL. One of our special teams coaches was a kicker for a long time, and then our O-line coach was an O-lineman for 6 years. So we all have bits and pieces that we can share, and a lot of that is just work ethic, because I think a lot of these kids see the peak of tip of the iceberg, and they don't realize how much work goes into it. It's not glitz and glamour and how you celebrate. It's how you prepare to get to that celebration that you earn.
So this week, the mission has been learning about Rochester Adams. You guys have been studying them and getting ready for Friday night. When you saw what they did last Friday when they went into West Bloomfield and defeated the defending state champs, what was your reaction to that?
I mean, for me as a coach, that's what you want. You want to go in with a team that is quality. And you knew that Petrillo would have his team ready. So they're disciplined. They do what they do, and they do it at a very high level. And obviously they had a great week one. So it's going to be an exciting game for us. You know, we have definitely put our homework in, and the guys have put the work in, and we'll clean things up Wednesday and Thursday, and we'll be ready to roll.
Looking forward to it. It should be a great matchup this Friday night. Rochester Adams hosts Oxford. Zach Line, thank you so much for making some time this week on A Duff Said. I was really excited to get to meet you and talk not only about your guys, but some of the things that you got to experience in the pros. I really enjoyed it. It was a great conversation. I hope we can do this again soon.
Absolutely.
Up next, we head out to Lake Orion, where the Dragons were victorious on their home turf in week one. We recap their win over Utica Eisenhower, and that's That's tough said.
Who has the best student section in all of Michigan?
Lake Orion!
Who has the best cheerleaders in all of Michigan?
Lake Orion!
Once again, I want to say thank you so much for hitting the play button on this podcast, and that includes two very special listeners, Michelle and Bethany. They recently became patrons of A Duff Said. Now, for as little as $2 a month, or $24 a year, you can help this show to continue to grow and provide the content that you enjoy. And if you become a patron of A Duff Said, we have got a lot of great gifts in store for you. We've got bumper stickers, we've got t-shirts, heck, I'll even record your voicemail message. So if you're having trouble ever figuring out what to say, I'll say it for you, and that's A Duff Said. If you'd like to become a patron of A Duff Said, all you got to do is go to patron.podbean.com/A Duff Said. What does it mean to go 1-0?
Oh, 1-0? I mean, of course, to get the first win, it's big, but we still got 8 more games, and then we got playoffs after that. So 1-0, it feels good right now, but we got to keep working.
That was Lake Orion quarterback Kyler Carson. Carson and the Dragons defeated Utica Eisenhower 33-7 last week in their first game of the season. The Dragons were dominant on the ground. They rushed for 342 yards. Sophomore Billy Roberson had 153 of those yards on the ground in his varsity debut. Ball control and time of possession played a huge factor on this night for Lake Orion. Already leading 20-7 in the third quarter, Lake Orion had a 9-minute drive capped off by a Jacob Lee field goal.
It was fun because I was thinking about that at the time, that in the years past, it's felt like we've been on the receiving end of those drives in some big games, and it was nice to be on the other end of it this time.
The Dragons will be back in action this Friday night, but they'll be on the road when they travel to North Farmington. Now, if you would like to see highlights, or as I like to call them, Dufflights, of this past week's win over Utica Eisenhower, just head to my webpage, aduffsaid.com. Be sure to click on the video tab in the Dufflights section on the main page of my website.
Who has the best student section in all of Michigan?
Swan Valley!
Who has the best student section in Michigan? Who has the best cheerleaders in all of Michigan?
Eisenhower! Support for A Duff Said comes from you, the listener. It also comes from people like Bethany and Michelle, who recently became patrons of this podcast. And you can too. For as little as $2 a month or $24 a year, you can help A Duff Said continue to grow and continue to provide the great content that you've come to expect from me each week. And if you're a patron, you get access to exclusive content that sometimes doesn't make it into the show. So just go to patron.podbean.com/A Duff Said. Like I mentioned earlier, Rochester Adams had an epic win to start the season last week. The Highlanders took down the defending state champion West Bloomfield Lakers 35-17 in their house, which just goes to show that when some folks appear on the A Duff Said podcast, they get bestowed with something that I like to call the A Duff Said karma. Many coaches, players, and teams have benefited from it, and when I told Adams coach Tony Petrito about it, He was more than eager to make another appearance this week. That conversation starts now. What was the mood like going into the game Friday night? Because you knew you had a really big test in front of you guys, and it was going to be a huge atmosphere taking on the defending state champs. What was the mindset as you guys stepped off the bus Friday night?
You know, surprisingly, I was really pleased. Our kids had a real quiet confidence about them. Weren't too hyped, like, weren't all crazy, but they were in their own way with their own personality, demonstrating they were ready to play. And I think I sensed, and my coaches actually said it to me, we really believe these kids think they're going to win. Like, we knew no one else thought that, but in their heart of hearts, they thought they did the work and they thought it was going to pay off, and they truly saw themselves. They had the vision that they were going to win.
All week long, I read different publications, different newspapers. Everybody was talking about how this West Bloomfield team may be even better than the one that they put together last year that won the state title, but you guys were not at all intimidated by that. How did you guys stay grounded and focused?
You know, it's interesting. They've heard that noise, and we've heard that noise for a while coming from over there. And we didn't play well the last year, and especially in the second half. We didn't play the year before that in the second half. And in 17, we lost by one. And our kids truly believe that even though they got a lot of talented kids over there, that if they played together, that they're going to win. And I honestly believe that they never wavered from that the entire time.
What was the atmosphere like? Just that opening weekend atmosphere. Both sides looked like they had huge crowds there.
Yeah.
What was it like to get that in week one?
You know, it was great. Like, I was so happy, especially for our seniors. And a couple of our seniors from last year's team came back and they were on the sidelines with us, which is really kind of cool because they didn't get to experience that at all. But it was great to have high school football back. Like, people outside our world don't know what that really feels like. When you walk down the hill at a place like that, being such a good team with such a huge crowd, you know, those are lifelong memories for kids, like we talked about last time. And I was so pleased that they got to experience that. Our student section for a road game was just awesome. And our parents, as always, are always embedded, but it was good to see the kids out there at a road game. It was just really cool. It was like the old days all over again.
At what point during the game did you get that sense, we're going to do this, we are going to knock off the defending state champs in week one?
You know what? I'm going to be really honest. I'm like, you know, coaches are superstitious. You know, we talked about karma, you know, that kind of thing, but I didn't really even have that feeling until we scored with literally a minute left in the game. Like, the entire time I'm thinking, we got to make first downs, we got to control the ball, we got to control the clock, we got to do everything right. And that was my mindset. And this is completely honest, I didn't feel that until we scored after a 10-minute drive to put the game away 35-17. That's the truth.
That was such a dominating defense last year, what West Bloomfield had. To hear that you guys had a 10-minute drive against them, that you were able to maintain control of the ball and sustain a drive like that on the first week of the season against such a great, talented team that they have over there, how thrilled were you with that?
It was that, as a coach, especially a guy that I particularly work with the offense, it was very gratifying because it requires all 11 dudes to really be locked in and do their job and do it with passion and perfection to make that happen in any level of football, especially against a team like that. So when you have a lead and you have the ball, especially after they scored, that's the ultimate statement you want to make. Like, you don't want to just make first downs. You want to make a lot of first downs, kill clock, and then put them away and make it a 3-score game. And the kids pulled that off. I was just so proud of them.
When the game was finally over, what was the mood like on the sidelines? What was that whole environment like?
It was pretty special. You know, one of the things that keeps me in this business is the seeing the looks on the kids' faces when they have those kinds of moments. We've had a lot of big wins at Adams, you know, in my tenure, and I've been blessed to be part of some of those. And to see the kids have that sense, some of them, believe it or not, looked relieved. You'd think we'd be euphoric and jump around going crazy, but there was a lot of kids because they had so surely believed that they did the work they were going to win that they were relieved that it actually happened. I know that sounds maybe kind of strange to you, but I actually saw a little bit of that from some of our seniors. Like, they were relieved. Okay, you know what? We said we were going to do it. We did it. And now I'm happy that that we accomplished it, but there's almost like a sense of relief.
I was saving this question for last, but I'm just going to head and ask you this now because you just hit on it. You know, you've had a lot of big wins in your time at Rochester Adams. You've been there since 2003. You won a state championship. But where does this particular win rank amongst all the big wins that you've had with the Highlanders?
You know, because it's the first week of the season, I can't put it way up there because we've had some big wins, you know, going to the finals and making it to the semis three of the first 4 years I was there, you know, beating Brother Rice in front of 10,000 people in our home stadium and in a game where we scored with a minute left to take the lead. Those kinds of, I mean, there's some huge games in the playoffs that really resonate with me. Some wins against our rivals coming back from two touchdowns down to beat Clarkston a couple of years ago. Like there's a few that really stand out. This one's really gratifying because nobody thought we were going to do it. It's special. It's great. I wouldn't put it up there maybe in the top five, but it's definitely a pretty good one.
There's one reason why I feel like you got a bit of a rub there. And that is because, and I was telling you about this over the weekend, there's been a lot of coaches and teams that I've talked about or players that I've interviewed on this show since I started this in 2019 that have gotten a little bit of karma from being on the show. And I didn't know who was going to benefit from it because I had both you and Coach Grice on the show. It's like, okay, well, who's going to get the Aduff said karma in this one? And when it comes to the Aduff said karma, I interviewed a kicker a couple years ago who went on to go and kick the game-winning field goal right after I talked to him. I interviewed the head coach over at Lance Cruz. They had had such a run of bad luck for a number of years, but I had their coach and a few of their players on. They went and knocked off a big team in their conference. But in terms of the size of this win that you guys had against a really good West Bloomfield program, I think you got probably the biggest Aduff said karma rub out of all of them.
I'll take it. You hedged your bet by interviewing both of us, but I'll take it, man.
You guys, you got the job done. You know, you were talking about how guys were really subdued, but was there a celebration afterwards? Or was it just a matter of just saying a few words and that was it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's like we have this mantra at Adams, like not too high, not too low. Or especially early in the season or even through the playoffs because you have to get ready to go to work the next day. But this time I let my guard down a little bit and the message was smile and look back at the job that was so well done and really kind of wallow in this until tomorrow at least. So we're not going to talk about Oxford till tomorrow. So tonight, laugh, love, enjoy each other, and we'll go to work tomorrow, which is really kind of cool. It's nice to be able to relax a little bit and in that moment.
Did you get a Gatorade shower?
I did not, thank goodness.
Were you expecting
it? By the
way,
they did get Parker. They got Parker. I think he had more to do with our win than I did, that's for sure. So
well,
they
then gave it Parker rightfully the went to him.
Yeah, they gave him the old ice water bath. You can't do Gatorade showers in high school fields because the turf stains. So you got to do water.
At least he got something out of that, and he's going to remember that for a long time. A lot of your guys are going to remember that. This is a win that you guys are probably going to be looking back on years from now and saying that, you know, a team that won a state title, nobody gave us a chance, and yet we got the job done. When ultimately the time comes when you look back at the program, what's it going to be like to know that you were able to give kids a moment like that?
You know, it's like, to be honest with you, I'm going to flip you on that one a little bit. I'm so appreciative that they gave me that moment because I honestly say those kids – gave that moment back to our staff because, you know, when they're between the white lines, we're not with them. And they're the ones that executed and did everything at a high level for a week one game that gave our coaching staff the victory. So I'm the one that's truly appreciative.
As the saying goes, Coach, championships are not won in week one, and you don't lose a championship really in week one in high school football. And this can go a number of different ways. I mean, obviously West Bloomfield, they had a loss last year against Clarkston, and then after that, nobody was really able to touch them the rest of the year, and they won a state title. So when you look at what's ahead of you moving forward now, what is the mindset and what's kind of the mission moving forward now that you've gotten such a big win in the win column?
Most definitely going back to work and getting better. That has to be our mindset, and we're going to do that. Like we have great respect for Oxford. We know them really well. I know several of their coaches that used to be on our staff, so they know what we do. It's a huge challenge. So we're grounded. We are not too high from our win, and we know we have to get better every week if we're going to be successful in our conference.
We talked about it last week. You had a very special moment prior to this game, and that is you celebrated your anniversary with your wife. I myself am going to be celebrating my 11th anniversary with my wife this weekend. And we were talking last week. We were watching College Game Day on ESPN, and she was trying to show off a little bit of her football knowledge. And she said, "Aren't you proud of me?" And I was like, "Of course. It's always nice whenever you can drop your knowledge on football on me. I always love that. It's such a great feeling to know that I've kind of taught her the game a little bit, because when we first met, she knew nothing about football. And so I've gotten a chance to teach her a little bit." And then it got me thinking after she said the following. She said, "You know what? It took me a lot of years to build up this football knowledge. And it dawned on me that it takes all of us a long time, especially as coaches, to build up that knowledge of football. You never really stop learning. Is there really ever a moment where you think you know it all, or do you always consider yourself a student of the game, even though you're a coach?"
You know, that is the bottom line to being good at anything in your life. I don't care what you do, teacher, coach, you know, work for a bank, whatever you do. The second you stop trying to get better and learning from both younger and older than you, you're done. Like, it's time to get out. So I have great assistant coaches. My son was on the sidelines for the first time with me after finishing his career playing at Central, and he helped call some of those plays. Like, I listen to my guys. They help in so many ways, and I learn every day. Like, that, if it's not that case, then I need to step down and be done.
You know, I had no idea your son was on the staff and he played at Central. That's awesome. You are talking to someone who lives in a Central house. So fire up Chips.
There you go.
And as always, best of luck to you guys this Friday night against Oxford. It's going to be a great game. Thank you so much again for making the time, and congratulations on a great opening week win.
Thanks, Duff, and thanks for the karma.
Anytime. And that is how we wrap up this week's show. Many thanks to Zach Line and Tony Petrito for making some time for us this week. A new episode will be available next week. Be sure to look for it on my website, aduffsaid.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also follow me on Facebook. Just look for the page Sports Journalist Duff Tyler. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Until next time, this is Duff Tyler reminding you that if Duff said it, it must be true. Because that's what a Duff said.